You know, like sometimes people come in and be like, fuck you, Gary. I've been doing it for 7 years and I have 1,800 followers and get 2 likes. I'm like, it's not that social doesn't work because there's billions of examples of it working. It's that you haven't found it. Like what you're doing isn't resonating with the world. And that's on you to either not care because you like doing it and fuck it. You got your 1,700 followers and you're fucking living. Or if you want something else, you've got to change it. You got to change the creative format, the way you present. Maybe you shouldn't be in the content. You should be behind the scenes. There could be a million reasons.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
This is going to be the easiest interview of my life because I love this guy deep in my soul. Gary, you've inspired the world through just real life hard work. And you showcased it on a day-to-day basis on how they can actually do it. Where most people talk facetiously. You say, this is how you guys actually do it. Make pieces of content, go do the work. You never try to make it fake. Walk us through why you share your content like that and why this should actually follow through with those steps.
You know, I think, especially with the energy of this room and what an incredible lineup, and obviously the energy of this crowd is off the charts. To that point, I think for the OGs in this crowd, call it 42 and above years old, a lot of us in this crowd that are of that age realize that entrepreneurship wasn't in the zeitgeist of popular culture. When I was growing up, there weren't entrepreneurs to look up to. It wasn't a thing. It was all about go to the best college you can get into and go into the corporate game. And so as things evolved with the internet and social media, there was a point where I realized, oh shit, entrepreneurship is now cool. Right. And that was neat, and I thought that was fucking amazing, and I was like in it, and I was like, okay, let's understand what this means. And then over the next 3 to 4 years, it became obvious to me that a lot of people talked about it because it became cool, the way they would talk about sports or being a rapper. Like kids in high school are like, I'm gonna make the league, I'm gonna be in the NBA, or I'm gonna be a famous rapper. That wasn't the way that people talked about being an entrepreneur, but that had started to happen because entrepreneurship became popular culture. It was then that I was like, you know what? There's so much confusion of what it is required to pull this off. And I think for everyone in this, you know, conference, the more you go through it, I don't know where everyone is on their journey, but the more we go through it, the more you realize, like, you can fake it for a while, but it's just not sustainable. And for me, I got lucky because this all didn't happen when I was 17. This all happened when I was in my late 30s. I was already on the back end of putting in the work. The other thing that I desperately wish for everyone here, more than how much money they are able to make, is for them to be happy. And I mean that because everyone here knows unlimited people that have money that are having terrible lives. They're anxious, they've got real issues, and there's nothing good about that. So it became important to me 7, 8, 10 years ago to really do what I could to show that the truth of the matter is that the work is part of the equation. That you aren't looking for the quick way to do it, you're looking for the most sustainable way for you to do it. And really being self-aware and reverse engineering who the fuck you are and then putting yourself in a position to do that is always gonna lead to the thing that everybody wants. And so, you know, I felt it was in my stomach and I wanted to put it out there and I did. And obviously it led to people seeing maybe a different version of it. I'm thrilled when people use me as a proxy of what they want to do or of what they don't want to do. Plenty of people in these circles will come to me and be like, Gary, I don't believe in what you're saying. I'm like, that's amazing. Like, do you? Like, I don't think I'm right. I think I'm right for me. And I think that means it's right for some of you. And then it means that it's some parts of what I do is right for you. And that's the fucking game, Dan.
So when you walk through it, so clean and simple, like this is what you do over and over and over for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And if you do this every day, you'll get there. What do you actually think when people don't follow through with those things? Like, why don't people actually follow through with the simple game you give them?
Well, there's a million variables that go into that. Like, you know, the biggest thing that is holding back all of us, me included, from whatever we want is not recognizing things, not seeing it, right? Like, I didn't realize for 25 years as a manager that my lack of candor, Gary V, for all of you, is very candorous. It's a strength. Gary Vaynerchuk, the CEO of 2,000 people at VaynerX, struggled with candor because if I like you, it's harder for me to say something. You know, this is, you know, when you're posting to the world, so you're not talking to anybody specifically. When you're talking to a direct report that you're in the trenches with every day, they become your brother and sister. They become family when you're really about it. And it's sometimes hard to tell them they stink at something because for me, the number one thing I hate in the world is fear. I hate fear. And a lot of people weaponize fear to get people to do what they want. Politicians, teachers, parents. Fear is weaponized often. I used to think that me telling you, if you were working for me, Dan, like, hey, Dan, you're really like, you're awesome, but like, you're not great at this, this, and this. And like, if you don't fix it, like, this is not gonna work out. I thought when you would walk out that you were scared. And that you were like halfway out the door and self-esteem was fucked up. And I didn't know how to find that balance. I've been able to fix that in the last 5 years and it's changed a lot for my company and my world. I didn't see my lack of candor as a kryptonite. The reason so many people here don't follow easy things is one, it's not easy for them. I've started to get serious about my health about 10 years ago and I go to the gym pretty consistently. But to this day, I fucking hate it. Waking up tomorrow and it's gonna rain in New York and the fucking Jets are gonna probably lose tomorrow. And so I'm already in a bad mood and waking up at like 8 and having to like put in a workout is like the least natural thing. Yet if you told me, Gary, we need to work 98 hours straight on this to solve it, I'd be like, let's start right now. That's easy. So for a lot of people, it doesn't come natural. The reason, Dan, I think for a lot of people it doesn't come natural is they're chasing the financial part of it. And so by chasing the financial part of it, they don't really like it, which is why they want it to happen faster, which is why they don't follow the work ethic required. I understand that because that's how I lived my life in health and wellness, and that's how I lived my life as a student. I didn't like it, which is why I sucked at it. And there was no thing I could do to fix those two areas. But in business and entrepreneurship, I loved it. It's my life. I'm pure fucking bred entrepreneur. I like the game. And so it comes easy. But I think what I'm hoping is that if people realize in this new internet world that is now mature that we all live in, they can, instead of chasing the next trend, if they chase a category of passion, something they like, and build a business around that, they're far more likely to pull it off because when they wake up, they actually want to do it because the thing is interesting, not the shit they get from the thing.
So back in 2019, you led me to a passion project. We were at a sports card convention called The National. 100,000 people there. I just happened to be in Chicago. Gary's there. He's got his booth there. And I come by the card show. And you've got, at the time, like 900 employees. Now you have 2,000. You had like 900 employees. And I watched you buy a sports card for $60 and spend an hour negotiating with someone else to sell it for $100. So you're gonna make $40 while you have 900 employees back home. And it's burned into my mind, why? Like, what is so much about the game?
Because $40 fucking dollars in profit's a fucking come up. but I'll let you finish, but I just wanna go back. Like, that story's real, and it's completely the follow-up to what I just said. Me buying a sports card for $60 from one booth, walking around for an hour, and then selling it for $100, and making those $40 gets my juices going way more than when VaynerMedia lands a $10 million account, and it's not even fucking close. If you can find that in your actual day-to-day, you will get much further than you can ever imagine because you'll have the fucking fuel to get it.
So for people out there that are trying to figure out the thing that they like, sports cards and Pokemon, working for an accountant, a lawyer, real estate, selling door-to-door, selling solar, working with these companies, like, how do they find that thing that makes them excited?
You have to taste shit. I texted 7 to 10 people to come by the National in Chicago in 19. You said yes. You had no fucking idea. You just showed up and then it led to something. The amount of people here that start conversations with no breaks my soul. Most of the best shit that was ever destined to happen in your life, you said no to. We have to, especially this crew, one of the tenors of business or entrepreneurial success is to be in the business of maybe instead of the business of no. If you're in the business of maybe, you spend a little time double clicking into shit. If you're in the business of no, you already lost. There's so many people here, Dan, that say, well, Gary, I say no because I'm saving my time. My time is precious. When their time isn't worth as much as they think, it's fucking ego. Your time's not as valuable as you think. And understanding the power of maybe is humongous. And so the way they all figure it out is by saying maybe, which leads them to doing 7 to 20 things or going to 7 to 20 things that they wouldn't have prior. And in one of those 7 to 20 things is the fucking thing.
So oftentimes people have like a goal number. They're like, once I make 100 grand a year, or I make 250 a year, or once I buy the house, or once I make a million a year, once I make 2 million. But the goalpost always moves. What are your thoughts about when people have these numbers or these goals in their mind for that financial gain?
I think this is a self-awareness game. I think for some people here, those goals really work. For me, I just made up something when I was 12 that was so big that it allowed me to play forever.
To buy the, New York
the Jets, right? And so,
are you gonna buy the Jets?
Am I gonna buy the New York Jets? Yeah, I think I am. But, you know, when I clip this in 40 years when I don't buy them and have to explain what the fuck happened, I won't be upset because I am focused on what I can control, build the biggest and most sustainable and best and healthiest businesses I can to put me in a position that if the serendipity of the world and the timing and the stars align, that at a time when I can actually afford it, which would not be tomorrow, if tomorrow they're for sale, it's unlikely I get them. I may get a tiny, tiny piece because whoever got it is probably smart enough to realize me getting a little piece is probably a good arbitrage.
For sure.
But that will crush me in my competitive spirit of trying it. But if I don't get them, that'll be fine. Chasing them has been the great joy of my life. And that's what I want for everyone, where the process is enjoyable. I think a lot of people struggle with goals. When they hit it, it's so empty. They're like, fuck. Like getting to a million or 100,000 or whatever it is, what, like they feel empty. I'm sure many people here have achieved something that they can think back now is like, fuck, it wasn't as good as I thought. Because the ideology of the thing was what they put on a pedestal, not the day-to-day game of trying to get to the thing. And so when I'm at a conference like this with all the other incredible speakers you've got lined up, and I think about like, what could we touch on in this talk that might bring value, that might not be touched on? I just don't think, Dan, people put enough energy on enjoying it. It's like winning at all costs is fine, but not at your cost. You know, it's just not. And at 47 years old and being around the game for a long time now and knowing how many people got to the top of the mountain on paper and lost their lives, their loved ones, lost everything once they got there because of how they got there, like all the shit, all the fucking shit that comes along with it. I don't want that for a single fucking person at this conference.
So we have 7,000 people in this audience, and they're gonna be surrounded by people that are not gonna support them when they have the crazy idea. I'm gonna open a sports card store in the middle of a shutdown. I'm gonna open up acai bowl locations, or I'm gonna throw a humongous event. They have these ostentatious ideas, and they're finally excited to do it, and their friends don't support them. What are your thoughts about the people?
That's the best. The greatest thing in the world for an entrepreneur is sticking it to their fucking friends. I got nothing else to fucking say about that. Like, yeah, like honestly, I never get mad at anyone. Not my friends, not my competitors, not people that troll me. I'm empathetic. People are going through their shit. If your friends don't support you, it's because they can't see them doing it. Understood. It's because they're unhappy and they're starting to develop a little envy and jealousy of you. Not because they don't love you anymore or they're not your homie. They're just not in a good place. I think too many of us that are succeeding are not doing a good enough job bringing our friends along from a place of empathy, compassion, and sympathy. Don't be mad at them. Have compassion for them.
So,
you know what I mean? I think a lot of us know what we mean, right? We're like, no, fuck Don. He's fucking jealous, motherfucker. Don, your boy that you grew up with, is just in a tough spot right now. Deep down, he's super pumped for you. He's just not in a good place. You need to fucking be double friend, not cut them off.
So, someone's out there, they're listening to you. They've been listening for years and they're finally ready. They're gonna post multiple times a day. They're building their following. They hit 10,000 followers. They're excited. And then they start to see 5 trolls a day, 12 comments a day. You're ugly, you're rude, you're stupid, that's dumb, blah, 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 blah. How do you say to deal with trolls and haters?
Yeah, I mean, we just touched on it. Like, just like honestly, once and for all, because I know a lot of you on your journeys will have public, you know, lives. Like, genuinely, stick with me on this for 2 seconds. Imagine living a life where right now on this Saturday morning, afternoon around this country, you're laying at home and you're going through your Instagram or TikTok or YouTube and you're looking to hurt someone else's feelings. Like, you're literally going through it to find, you're looking to get triggered or upset to then leave a comment to then hurt that person. Think about how sad that life is. Honestly, I mean it. I'm not making fun of that person. I'm deeply empathetic to that person. Think about how fucking sad that life is. That you're not in the business of building something. You're in the business of walking around the internet trying to tear something down. I really, really, really hope that this hits even one person here. That starting this moment from now on, when someone says you're ugly or stupid or full of shit or suck, that you don't start to feel bad for yourself. You start feeling sad for them. Please get on this fucking train, because it will be good for you and it will make you a better person for them. Dan, literally, I am always consuming because I want to know what's going on. The only time I ever feel compelled to say something is not, and I disagree or see the world differently than a lot of people posting. I'm not compelled to razz that person. The only time I'm doing anything is usually DMing people in this room saying, keep going, right? Like, I'm trying to give love because I'm happy inside. What we do publicly is a complete reflection of what's going on inside. The only time I feel compelled to do something is to tell one of y'all, keep fucking going, you're not far.
So, sitting right next to that person that did listen to you is the one that didn't. And they say to you, I don't need social media. I don't need a personal brand. What would you say to them?
Cool. There's unlimited people fucking winning. I know unlimited people with monster businesses, super happy lives, and they're not on social. Mazel tov. You know, good. On the flip side, there's a lot of people that leave opportunity on the table without realizing, friends, social media is free distribution. Of course you can run paid. I get it. But it is the only platform in the world that you can reach millions of audience without paying for it. Do you know how fucking insane that is? You can't run a newspaper ad for free. You can't run a television commercial for free. You can't buy Google AdWords for free. You can do SEO, which is true, which is why it was a monster. But the fact that social, and especially with the TikTokification of everything, is free, it's insane. It's so insane that I'm just finishing up wrapping the follow-up to Jab, 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 Right Hook. Thank you. Originally it was called Jab, 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 Left Hook, which I liked, but as I was writing it, which is the thesis I have on where we are right now in the current state of the internet and attention. I changed the title of the book, and now it's going to be called Day Trading Attention. And for everyone here, the number one thing that they're actually in need of doing is day trading attention. Social is an incredible place to do it. Influencers is an incredible way to do it. There's a lot of ways to do it, but it is the macro thesis, Dan. When you're opening up locations, right, for acai or sports cards or for donuts, like the gentleman I met, or anything that anyone's doing here, at the end of the day, before anyone's gonna buy anything from you, they need to know about it. And for me, social media is disproportionate on this day in 2023, the biggest opportunity for time and effort and money against outcome on the other side. So when people say, I'm not gonna do it or I don't need it, I'm very empathetic to that. There's many ways to win. This isn't the only way. It just happens to be the way, especially for someone starting at zero, the most opportunistic way today. The same way that if I was writing books when I was building Wine Library for my dad, I would have talked about search, because SEO in 2000 was bananas. Right. And so there's always an arb. And so I don't think anyone should do anything other than be a kind person. But as far as entrepreneurship, like, I'm not hurt. I didn't invent social media. Social media is not my fucking brother. I don't give a fuck. I just think there's an opportunity.
Can you guys just clap if you have children? For someone out there that has a 14-year-old or a 16-year-old daughter, for example, and she's comparing herself to other girls on social media, and whether it's celebrities or influencers or anything in between, what would you say to those girls that are seeing so much Photoshop content?
Look, I know how much the world is excited about blaming social media for everything and this scenario. I'm 47 years old. Our social media was... Kate Moss was being blamed for shit because of her photos in a magazine and what her weight was. We're always blaming something. Marilyn Monroe was blamed, Barbie was blamed, Cindy Crawford was blamed, Kate Moss was blamed. Like, somebody's always to blame. Parents love to blame the outside. The only way to win the game that all us parents want, which is we want our kids to not get caught up in some shit, is for us to focus on building the kids' self-esteem. It's true. Like there are millions and millions and millions of young girls and boys right now going through social media, and they're not devastated by someone else's money or good looks or happiness. There's millions of them. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who were fortunate enough with either DNA or great parenting from everyone who just clapped by instilling into that child that you are good enough and these are the things you're good at. Where we lose our way sometimes is we tell these little fuckers they're good at everything, and that's delusion. Which is why we have to get rid of eighth place trophies, yes, because they're fucking us up. You do not build self-esteem by telling your child they're great at everything. You build self-esteem by pointing out the things your kids are good at and you pointing out the things they could work on. But once you build that self-esteem, they can deal with other people's happiness.
Along the same lines, someone's just getting started on social media and they're only getting 12 likes and 16 likes, and they feel like, well, Johnny or Rebecca sees that I only got 12 likes and they feel weird about that. What would you say when they're first, like, you used to get your first few views and now you've got tens of millions of views. Walk us through that first phase.
You still suck.
I love it. That's it. Next question.
You know, like, sometimes people come in and be like, Gary, yo, fuck you, Gary. Like, I've been doing it for 7 years and I have 1,800 followers and get 2 likes. I'm like, bro, you suck. And I don't say that to razz him. I'm like, it's not that social doesn't work, because there's billions of examples of it working. It's that you haven't found it. Like, what you're doing isn't resonating with the world, and that's on you to either not, and this is a real one, not care because you like doing it and fuck it. You got your 1,700 followers and you're fucking living. Or if you want something else, you've got to change it. You got to change the creative format. You've got to change the way you present. You've got to change, maybe you shouldn't be in the content. You should be behind the scenes. There could be a million reasons, but you shouldn't dwell on where you're at. You know, it, again, back to health and fitness. What I was doing in the gym 10 years ago is very different than what I'm doing now. That shit in the first month was disastrous. Like 8 atrocious push-ups. You know what I mean? I don't do that anymore because I put in the fucking work and I put in the time. And so I think that a lot of people need to realize where they are on the journey. And I do think people give up too soon because the first year didn't go well and they don't realize that they're just starting. It's about reps. And, you know, I think, again, this all goes into the mindset shit that I'm most fascinated about. Most of the shit that everyone here is not achieving isn't based on them not knowing the tactics. The tactics are available for free. You can go Google and YouTube everything. They're free. The mindset that stops one from doing it is the thing I'm most fascinated by, especially in entrepreneur land. Just to remind everybody, what we all do for a living, you're basically losing all the time. This journey of building shit is a game of micro losing all the time. And if you get really good at micro losing, you tend to macro win. And what that means is there's always little step backs. But if you take something from it and you tweak and you build and you tweak and then something else gets fucked up, it's like the whole, you know, the boat that keeps having holes in it. You know, you're on the boat and this thing's fucked up. You put your finger in it, you patch it up, that's fixed. But fuck, 2 things popped up over here. Everyone here is micro losing. I'm losing all the time. We lost a client this week. We lost 3 good employees that I didn't want to lose. You're constantly losing. We need to fall in love with losing. This is where I get serious about the 8th place trophy. The reason that's dangerous is we're teaching kids that losing is bad when losing is actually the best. The best fucking entrepreneurs in the world love to lose. Promise.
So a moment ago.
And just notice, Dan, just notice how light the claps were on that.
Yeah.
Right? Like just notice what everyone just did. There was a couple. People don't like to lose because they worry about what other people think. Whoa is right, motherfucker. People don't like to lose because they're actually worried. I don't give a fuck what you think about my losses. Not because I'm audacious or I'm mean, because it's like an athlete. Do you understand? Could you imagine an athlete stopping every time the home crowd booed? I mean, there wouldn't be a single Jets player on earth. I'm booing within the first 8 seconds of the game. Like you, all of you are on the fucking field. Do you understand that all of you are on the field? So it doesn't matter what your fucking mom or uncle or sister say. They're on the fucking stands eating popcorn, watching you fucking play. Like, honestly, like, I talk to, like, friends and family, and they're like, Gary, but my mom said, look your mom in the face and say, Mom, if you don't think what I'm doing is right, fucking go show me you do something and let me look at that. Yeah. I'm not fucking worried about people's opinions that are not on the fucking field. Fuck.
So here in Salt Lake, we have a lot of people that are in the door-to-door space.
Yes.
Obviously, the great one of our sponsors. When you start making money early, and these guys are 22, 24, 26 years old, making 10 grand, 20 grand, 30 grand, 40 grand, some of them 100 grand in a month or 200 grand in the summer. What do you say to the kids that are making money like that at 22, 24, 26, so they don't go?
Yeah, that shit scares the love fucking shit out of me. You know, look, I mean, when you're making that kind of money at that age, like, I really get worried because I'm wondering, like, what's going to happen? You know, it's cliche, going back to what we just ranted about. So many people are living their lives to impress everybody that they're going to go take that money and buy dumb shit, right? It's going to burn a hole in their pocket. Many of them are thoughtful and will do smart shit. You know, look, I think there's a million things people could do in that scenario. And I don't think anything I'm about to say is the right way. You've got to know your situation. For some of those people, they're going to do incredible things like pay off debt for family members and remarkable things. For some of them, they are going to buy a toy, and that's okay too. I know I talk a lot about, you know, people buying things and people get mad at me. They're like, no, Gary, I like this car. I'm like, if you really like it, you should be like, I buy tons of dumb shit. I buy custom jerseys of fourth string Jets players for $180. They may never play, and I buy it strictly to go to the stadium and wear the jersey to peacock that I'm the biggest Jets fan in the stadium. That's not smart, you know? So they'll buy toys, it's all fine. I think the biggest thing is, at that young of an age, there's so much good you could be doing with that. Yeah. But the biggest thing that I think about that when I hear that from you is finding your relationship with money. You know, one thing I think we all agree that is completely no longer talked about is saving money. That used to be like the only conversation in this 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Like, I like literally like look at Google Trends and look search on social, like nobody's talking about saving money. Right? And when you come into money quickly in your early 20s, a lot of times you think it's always going to be there. And so we see a lot of people in that scenario, it comes and then it's gone. And they really, and they've already tasted having money. So now they're depressed because they're 26 and they have less at 26 than they had at 22. And so these are the things I worry about. I just think building an actual good relationship with money where there's a balance between savings, investing, buying some things to make you and your family happy, just finding a balance.
So,
thank you.
An hour ago, we had David Goggins here, and I asked him about personal fitness when it's like Thursday morning and they don't really feel like it. On the business fitness side, when someone's been working on their business and they don't have the results yet, they've been working on their business for a year or 2 years, whatever it is, and they just aren't having the results or things are hard, what would you say to them so that when they don't feel like it?
There's two extremes in this scenario, in my opinion. One, sometimes it's just okay to fucking punt the day. And I know that it's not necessarily what I do, but that goes back to the way I started this, which is I love my fucking shit so much that even when it's going bad, it's like, it's good because I'm playing, right? Actually, this is really important. I don't say this often. For everyone here, just think of the single thing, the single game you like the best. Basketball, Uno.
Poker.
Bro, Uno's the fucking jam. Poker, whatever it is. That single game that you're thinking about right now, tennis, that game that you love so much, you like playing it even when you're losing. As a matter of fact, for a lot of you like me, when you lose, it makes the next game even more fun, right? That's how business is, and that's what I want everybody to find. For the people that have that on that Thursday, punt it. Go spend time with your family. I don't know, like zen out. It's actually okay to skip the day, right? Or to the other extreme, push through super hard. Because when you get through that day, you've shown yourself resilience. And you get to the end of the day, you feel accomplished. Don't be in the middle where you're just dwelling about the feeling all day. If it's really killing you, get the fuck out. Go to a movie. I don't care. Play video games. If it's not completely killing you, show yourself that you have resilience to get through that 10-hour day and get on the other side because you will feel fucking great. But let's say you decided to go through the resilience and you're an hour or two in and it's even getting worse, then punt the day. We have to be nicer to ourselves, Dan. We just have to be nicer to ourselves. Too many of you are beating yourself up for little dumb shit. One day of not productive work at your job is not putting you the fuck out of business.
So,
that being said, if that day becomes a week and that week becomes a month, now you gotta look at it. You know what I mean? Now you gotta look at it. Now you're in the wrong game and you need to figure out how to get the fuck out potentially.
In our last 30 seconds, what is the one thing you would say to this audience that's getting bombarded by the media and chaos and we're in a recession, everything's going wild and there's so many things that are fear to us, what would you say to them to make them not feel like that?
The truth, which is all of you are 100% in charge. It doesn't matter what, there have been people that have been happy and built monster businesses in recessions, during natural disasters, with a bad mom, with an alcoholic dad. There are unlimited people in the world who have found massive success and deep happiness in every scenario. There is nobody in control of you. No matter what they pound down your throat to scare you, I promise you, you are 100 fucking percent in charge. And the second you get that into your fucking dome is the second you don't even hear the dumb shit anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, give a round. Yeah.